Hello, and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast. With you, as always, is Garth Nelson, and not, as always, is our friend...
Benjamin Boaz. Good to be here.
Wow. Major lowering in tension there from what we had a good 22 seconds ago. But yes, very respectable all of a sudden, Ben Boaz. And our, as always, with us, producer, Troy. Woo-hoo. Welcome to the show again, everybody. And, whew, you know, all of us are a bit more lubricated than we are normally for the podcast. So, who knows what will happen in this evening's podcast. It'll be, it's going to be a three-man free-for-all is what it's going to be. Because the reason we have Ben here with us today is that our other, as always with us, guest, or guest, not host, Jen is in Malaysia partying her ass off. So, that's why the three of us are left to ramble on
is
about
Mahjong. Is
that what
she was... she told me she was, like, playing... she told me she was doing work out there. She's just
partying?
Well,
she's probably doing work, which, as far as I'm concerned, partying is hard work.
It can be very difficult.
I work as hard as I can when I'm partying. Don't you?
Every single night, yeah.
Are you slacking off when you're partying?
Yeah, I mean, I can get pretty lazy about that stuff.
Jerk-offs. Communists. That's what you...
100% effort.
I mean...
Require 100% effort
yes.
at all times.
Obviously, when I say communists, I mean that in the most...
Don't you guys have listeners in China?
Possibly. Oh, yes, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, so obviously I mean communists in a very...
positive
good,
and affirming.
As,
yes.
As good as it could possibly be for Mahjong. Let's see. Did you play Mahjong at all this week, Ben?
Did I play Mahjong at all this week? No, actually, no.
Jesus Christ. What
I'm
kind
sorry.
Of guests are we allowing? Oh, did I just say that out loud? Yes. Well, I don't know. All right. So we have.
I can put the mic on Troy if you want.
That might be a good idea.
I mean, hey, at least on the few times when I play, I win, unlike some other people.
Oh yes.
I've been reading your blog lately.
Did I not win any times at all this lately? I think I won last week.
I don't know. Like the last couple of times I read it, I just noticed a pattern, so I assume.
Goodness.
I apologize if I'm incorrect.
All right, yeah, speaking of blogs, you can check out my blog at GarthE, that's GARTHE, .jetsets, JETSETS .JP. And I believe you write a blog also, do you not, Ben?
I don't think I've updated that thing in like a year.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
It's very entertaining for historical purposes, but...
Well, if people wanted to contact you or check out what's been going on in the world of Ben...
I'll just Google my name. Benjamin,
okay.
B-E-N-J-A-M-I-N. Last name, B-O-A-S. If you throw in Mahjong, you'll probably see some relevant stuff. I've written a few articles in the past few months.
I remember seeing an article that you wrote on, like, CNN... or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. I got an article in on their travel website, cnngo.com. I think if you go to cnngo.com/, Tokyo, you'll see an article on top 10 reasons to play Mahjong in Japan. So it's kind of neat. Mahjong's on CNN now.
Yeah, so that if anything could ever possibly legitimize CNN, finally they've referenced Mahjong, and, you know, that is reason to finally accept CNN as a viable reporter of world news, you know.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. All right, well, now that we've properly introduced our...
Actually, no, I had a question about your blog,
special guest
if you don't
again.
Mind.
Yes, Ben, yes, what?
Who writes the Japanese for you?
Me. That good. I mean,
it's incredibly good. It's so much better than your spoken Japanese. I'm just surprised. You don't
really?
Even run it through an editor?
No, really. My written Japanese
your
is
written
better
Japanese
than my
is,
spoken
it's quite
Japanese.
Good. Yeah, it's better than your spoken Japanese.
Well, you know what? I do proofread my written Japanese, whereas I don't proof speak my spoken Japanese.
I've heard that beer does the opposite.
Yes, yeah. Yes. In fact, I pretty much unproof speak my Japanese. I'm trying to make it as unproof spoken as possible, apparently. I guess that could be why my written Japanese might be better than my spoken Japanese. That's really amazing, though. Thank you for that comment.
No,
which
is it's quite good. I always just assumed that you had one of your dozen Japanese girlfriends check it for
yes.
you, or even write it for you.
Well, you know, or I could have five of my dozen Japanese girlfriends check it for me, and then it would be really good, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Too many cooks, dude.
Oh, yes. Cooks. And they are good, aren't they? Oh, God, they make good... All right. But not that I'm... Not that I don't appreciate all of the goodness coming out of that realm. But...
Just keep on digging your own grave.
Then. Yes, yes. Dig, and I hit the bottom, and I just keep on digging. Because I am not so smart. So, speaking of not so smart, let's...
Man, is he like this every week?
No, I'm not. I'm only like this because I'm inspired by you. Let's talk about what has happened in the world of Mahjong this week. This week saw the beginning of Champions League for Japan Pro Mahjong League. In Champions League, the names that are leading the league at the moment are, for example, Ide. We like to talk about Ide a lot. He's in ninth place with a plus 39.4. Konno, another name we like to talk about, is right behind him in 10th place with 36 points. Fujiwara, another name that we mention a lot as being... He fell down to A2, all the way from A1 down to A2 a couple seasons ago. Held on to A2, and now he's still... at the top of Champions League. You know, maybe the guy is not as weak as we seem to keep thinking he is. He's doing well in Champions League, and maybe he'll keep holding on, as he always does. Aizawa in 14th, behind him. Sawazaki in 19th. Nakata, a sort of new name to the JPML League, is in 26th. Those are the top names in the top 30, the names that will get to move on to the championship round when they eliminate people and go on to the championship round. And just outside of the top 30 is Masuda, another name we follow sometimes, and me in 35th. We only go down to 35th because that's the last really interesting thing. As it happens, it just happens to be my name. Which is why that would be the most.
Is it the last interesting name, or is that actually last place?
Well, it's me, so pretty much it's the most interesting name.
So it's last place.
Most in this case,
that's
most
pretty
and
difficult
last
to do.
Are synonymous.
No,
how
I mean
like
with that much luck in the game, it's pretty hard to get dead last.
Yes, well, dead last for interesting, but in fact, for the entire tournament, there are 53, I think, at the moment, and of course, the tournament runs for 5 months. So there are quite a few more opportunities for more people to join the tournament. So by the end of the tournament, there will probably be at least 80 to 100 people in the tournament.
Huh.
So at the moment, I'm not totally sucking it up. But I'm not doing that great either. So if I want to make it into the top 30 to go on to the championship round, I will have a little bit of work ahead of me to make it out of the minus 8 category into probably... the plus 25 or 30 category.
How much time you got for that?
Four more sessions. Four more sessions of four games each. That's the way Champions
League works.
What's the UMA? Champions League is played A rules, which means that the UMA it depends on how many people are above and below the starting 30,000 points.
It's 12, isn't it, though?
So it's 12 points total,
right.
And that gets split between the two players that are above and below, or the three players that are above and the one person below, or the one person that's above and the three people that are below. So it can be 8, 4, minus 4, minus 8, or it could be 12, minus 1, minus 3, minus 8, or plus
the
8, plus 3, plus 1, minus 12. Yes. A rule is a little bit different from the normal sort of UMA, the normal sort of placing bonus that happens in rules that... you know, people that are just screwing around with the game are not like us in Red Bay. We're playing for reals, serious balls out. I didn't say balls out because this is a family
you
show.
Said this.
Yes.
But with a spread of 20, though, I mean, it's you're well within what shall we say?
Ah, yes.
less than half of a standard deviation.
Yes. If I get my act together just a little bit, I can get right back into the swing of things for Champions League. Another league that started this weekend was Special League. Special League is the league where people get especially invited to play in, and the prize for Special League is moving up in Normal League by more than the normal amount. The winner can move up to B2 no matter what league they happen to be at the time, which means even though I'm in D1, I could move straight up to B2 if I were to win Special League. However, this time in Special League, I've started off not too strongly, like I did differently from last season. I am in 13th place with a minus 6.8. A different E-Day from the one that we were talking about before, obviously, because the one we were talking about before is in A2. This E-Day is in some other league, but he got a plus 70 in the first session of Special League, so he's killing it there. In fifth is a guy that was at the same table as me, Horimoto, and we were speaking about him before because he won Champions League last season. And having won Champions League last season and having moved up out of the same D1 league that I'm in, we talked about him as being possibly an interesting player to watch. How wrong was I? Also at the same table and Horimoto was Kamimura, one of our friends of ReachMahjong.com, who I tend to respect as a pretty with-it Mahjong player. And having watched Horimoto's play at the same table in Special League, he was downright shocked to see that somebody like that had made it into the Special League. And I have to say, wow. That is some of the lamest Mahjong I have seen in quite some time. And I don't mean to be snotty or anything, you know, except that it comes to me very naturally to be snotty. The thing about his Mahjong is that it really highlights the fact that just going for it is actually not that weak a strategy. It's amazing how strong a strategy it is to just go for it all the time. Don't worry about what other people may have in their hands. Just keep trying to win that hand absolutely no matter what you see going on the table.
You know, Garth, this sounds like someone I know, although I suppose that's out of the context of Mahjong.
Yeah, you know, I am not quite that player as much as I used to be.
Well, no. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Like, I actually, you know, I'm. I think I got to be wishy-washy about this one because, on one hand, a lot of Japanese players are just way too conservative because they don't want to be embarrassed by throwing the tile.
Exactly.
And that's kind of ridiculous. But on the other hand, a major strategic mistake that a lot of beginners make is not folding when they really should.
Right.
Like, I mean, pushing a Lianshan 10, pushing an Yishan 10, even pushing a Tenpai against Oya, the dealer. I see those sorts of huge mistakes a lot.
Uh-huh.
But where does this guy toe the line?
The thing is,
he just doesn't play defense at all? This is junk you do?
Well, he, I think, his thinking, if he is thinking at all, is that given the fact that the people that he's playing with are other pros, he assumes that they are going to react to whatever he does. And so, from what I could tell, he pawned or chied anything he could the instant it came out. And because he did that, the players around him kind of react like, oh, why is he doing that? He must have this or he must have that. And so they start changing the way they're playing so that, in fact, it slows down their hands. And for the first two games, it was very effective because both me and Kamimura saw that, and I could tell that both he and I were playing very defensively against his sort of, you know, just going for it attitude. And at the time, we didn't realize that he was just going for it all the time. But after those first two games, when we saw what he kept winning with, because he would have to open his hand sometimes and show what he was winning with, or when he saw what he reached with, that was the really amazing thing. When I saw what he reached with...
Well, like what?
Well, like, okay, on the sixth draw or so, he reached with a shabo, mm-hmm. A double pair weight, of the seven of bamboos and the five of dots.
And with what sort of a hand?
He had one dora, but he also had all simples in his hand. So he didn't need to deech. He didn't need to deech to be able to win that hand. He could have just waited quietly, and in fact, he had three other runs in his hand, so if he got the four of dots or the six of dots or the six of bamboos or the eight of bamboos, he could have switched to pinfu, and he might have also had pinfu, which is peace of course in English, and he might have also had tanyao, so he could have had
that name sometime.
Mantan pin dora, you know, that's at least mangan. As it is, you know, if with the reach and somebody throwing his tile, he does have Men Tan Dora, Leech, Simples, and One Dora, which is still 5,200 points, which is not so far off a manga on hand, 8,000 points. But still, there's really no arguably good reason for reaching there. Except unless, you know...
Sure there is.
In some situations, you know, if you're at the very end of the game...
Well, I mean, how many points did he have? Was this East Round?
This was the third hand of the East Round. He was the North... in the North seat. And at the time, I think he had... I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't exactly remember. I think he was just a little above 30,000. And I was a little bit farther above 30,000, and the dealer at the time was a little below 30,000, and we all start out with 30,000.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I don't think it's ridiculous. I mean, he self-draws it, and it's manga.
Yeah, you remember this is A Rules.
I know.
So there's no Uradora, there's no...
But still, he self-draws it, and it's manga.
He self-draws it, and it's manga.
It is.
Yeah.
And 5,200 is not a small amount of points. I mean, if he didn't have the Dora, it would be nuts.
Right.
And, again, I'm not saying that's what I would do. I don't think it's wrong, though. Especially if you know that your opponents are going to be ultra-conservative and not throw it.
Right. But the thing is, after we saw... for me, when I saw that leech is when I decided, you know what? I don't need to pay attention to this guy anymore. And... For the rest of the day, when I stopped paying attention to him, and Kamimura also, I think, noticed around then, he was like, "Oh, you know what? I don't need to pay attention to this guy anymore either." He took third and fourth place after that. And you know, the thing is, that strategy is a very effective strategy if you can count on the other players to give up their hands when you play like that. But after players see that you play like that for a little while, suddenly you get no respect ever again, and I think it's much harder to win when the other players do not respect you. Like if you can't reach and at least sometimes have the other players say, you know what, maybe I should give up this hand. If when you're going for it every single time people say, you know what, I don't need to pay attention at all to this guy, I can just keep going for it, you're going to have to get really lucky to win at that point, because you're going to have big hands to win at that point. After that, you're always going to have a big
hand.
Why
can't you shift gears?
Well, all right, you could, but that's not what he did. He kept playing like that.
And what sort of entrance requirements do you guys have for
your
league?
Yeah, apparently not very strong. I have to say, and Kamimura also
am I allowed to take this opportunity to take issue with the translation of the name?
Which name?
The Japan Pro Mahjong League.
Okay, what is your issue with
the
Japan...
Well, Renmei doesn't mean league, it means federation. You guys aren't a league, you're a federation.
Thankfully I don't speak Japanese, so I'm not big on that.
We just discussed how you write your blog very well in Japanese. You guys already have a copycat organization in America that is also a federation, but has mimicked your mistranslation, thus ensuing confusion for everyone.
You know, thankfully I don't speak English either, so I'm not really sure what the difference is between
league
and federation.
I think everyone listening to this podcast so far has figured that one out. Should we keep on rambling about this? Do we have other stuff to hit?
Yes.
You guys, it's a ridiculous translation. Peace hand, you guys really need to stop.
Before we really over-highlight my lack of education.
I'm not making fun of you, I'm making fun of the site.
Okay, yes. Make fun of anything. Besides, well, you can make fun of me because I'm very evasive. I just have a few beers and everything's good.
I told you should have given me the second beer. Garth drank my beer.
I did not.
You had three
you
and
drank
I had one.
My beer.
You had three and I had one. How does the math work there?
Because I bought all four.
So I bought the pizza.
I bought a good third of the pizza, I think.
He bought less than a third.
This is definitely podcastable material. Okay, moving on.
You guys
to
edit this,
other
right?
other
you edit
league
this, right?
other news for the week. Coming up this weekend, we have another Reach Mahjong.com Cup. Oh my god, I got it right that time. Did you see that? I read it right off my notes here, and I said yes. I said it right. So if anybody out there is in Tokyo, this is another huge chance to...
Wait, actually, that's something we should talk about. Is there a list of people who play in Tokyo? Like, the foreigners who play? Because I got Skyped by this dude, this Swedish dude, who I think lives in, like, Mitaka, out of the blue, like, a month ago. I had no idea he was in Tokyo.
Huh.
There should be a list of this stuff. So anyone listening to this who is in Tokyo or knows people who are in Tokyo, like, encourage them to contact the site so that we know that they're here.
That's a good idea, yeah, actually. You know, just because we always like to have more people to play with. And you know, an opportunity like this does not come up all the time. We are hugely undersubscribed for the ReachMahjong.com Cup. And the prize for this is entry to the World Series of Mahjong Reach event, plus airfare, plus what you want to look at this, which has not very much information written on it.
Yeah.
Plus airfare, plus hotel accommodations. It's at least a $1,500 to $2,000 package that you can win just for the cost of about $60. And given the fact that at the moment, only perhaps 12 people are signed up in the tournament. You know, it is a huge opportunity. And
whoa, I didn't realize it was that. Wait, 12 people?
Yeah. You know, I mean, and
12 people.
You know what's really weird about this is that
Man, I should get Ryan in on this.
No kidding.
Wait, are we allowed to mention Ryan's name on the site?
Yeah, I don't
know.
No
one seems to know who he is. It's ridiculous.
Yes, and besides that. Yes, exactly. Who knows who Ryan is? So we can mention Ryan. But besides Ryan, you know, the thing is, I keep sending out our email on this thing, and people keep sending back the weirdest responses, like, "Oh, you know, it sounds really interesting, but I don't think I want to just go watch a pro tournament." Like, what? What did I say about just watching a pro tournament? I said you get to play in this tournament and you win entry into this other tournament. And then, you know, or I get a message back like, "Oh, yeah, I don't want to just go gamble in Macau." No. This is not just going and gambling in Macau. This is you getting to play in a tournament where you could win money, which is, it's not gambling. It's a tournament.
I don't know, dude. Gambling's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. But I think somehow the whole concept of this, of the World Series of Mahjong and this tournament that you get to qualify for the World Series of Mahjong is so strange to the Japanese mindset that they just can't quite get themselves to come play.
You know, maybe your Japanese is bad. Maybe I was wrong.
Maybe it is our Japanese. And the thing is, all the Japanese that come and play in it, right away they're hooked and they're just all, "Wow, this is awesome. I'll come next week, next month, if I happen to be free." And of course, you know, people have stuff going on.
When is
sometimes
it again? Let's hear the details.
All right. So this month's tournament is on Saturday, the 17th. Next month's tournament, I believe, it's during Golden Week. I think it's on like the 4th or 5th of May. So it's at the very end of Golden Week. It's a holiday.
People all go, but that's a ridiculous time to hold it.
No, it's not a ridiculous. It's
in the middle of Golden Week?
It's not in the middle. It's at the very end of Golden Week, actually. So people will be coming back to
hungover. Easy targets.
Yes, yeah. Easy targets. Or drunk targets. No, wait. We're easy targets. No, yeah, all the people in the tournament will be easy targets, so the people that don't drink and come back and play.
I thought you liked the drunk easy targets.
Well, you know, only if they're adorable. So that will be happening this weekend, and it is a huge opportunity to win a chance to play in the World Series of Mahjong. So if any of you happen to be nearby, or if you hear this too late to get into this weekend's competition, make an effort to get into the competition next month, because it is a fantastic opportunity to play at the World Series of Mahjong. Okay, that about wraps up this week's sort of World of Mahjong news. Let's get into this week's strategy talk. What? Did I miss something?
No.
Okay, sweet. This week's strategy talk. I figured it's not so much a discussion of Mahjong strategy so much as tournament strategy, since we were just talking about tournaments themselves. Let's go over a little bit of your tournament success, Ben. You took third in the European Reach Championship?
Open European Mahjong Championship in 2007. That wasn't Reach, though.
Okay.
In 2008, for the first European Mahjong Championship, I took second.
For the European Reach Mahjong Championship, you took second?
Yes.
Really? Wow. I did not realize.
It's okay. No one gets remembered unless they get first, right?
Yeah, yes, I do know that feeling.
Or third,
yes.
Yeah, that's probably why you thought I got third, too, yes. But I got second.
I wanted to be at least as good as you in some tournament somewhere. So, all right, so you took second in the European Reach Mahjong Championship. You definitely have an impressive tournament record. Why Masters, one of the ultimate Japanese Mahjong tournaments, you're not participating, right?
No.
Why would you not want to participate in this, one of the ultimate? I mean, you went and participated in like a huge European Reach Mahjong Championship. Why wouldn't you want to participate in the Japanese Mahjong Championship?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to disrespect the league, but I don't really think it's an ultimate championship. What makes it ultimate?
Well, the fact that it has Masters in the name. I mean, that's definitely.
I mean, you guys have Champions League too, and it isn't made up of any champions. You got to give me another
argument.
Well,
it's made up of some champions. Some of the people that play in there have championed other tournaments. They are champions of a sort.
I think you're on shoddy ground, guys.
Yes, all right, shoddy ground. But okay, so the Masters is definitely a widely respected tournament. A lot of very high level players play in the tournament. It's a chance to play against some really good players.
Like, for
example, all of the higher up players in, well, not all of them, but quite a few of the higher up players in our league play. Quite a few higher up players from other leagues will join the tournament also.
Like who? Well, like other leagues. In fact, I don't think a lot of the listeners know about other leagues.
You mean, like, for example, the Japan Pro Mahjong Association, Kyokai?
Is that what they do? Yeah.
Yes, or the National Pro Association, National Pro Mahjong, or something. I don't know. It's how we translate Saikoisen.
Yes, Saikoisen.
Yeah.
What an awkward name to translate.
Yes, exactly.
Like Ultimate League of Strength.
Yeah.
No, the Tokyo leagues, they play in it too, don't they?
Yes, quite a few people from other leagues will also be participating. In addition to quite a few. Non-professional players, like you know, anybody who wants to join the non-pro qualifiers. So in the end, there will probably be a good 1,000 or more players who have joined this tournament in some form or another. Why won't you try to join this tournament? Is there something about it that you find unappealing?
Well, there's, I suppose, I mean, the stuff that you've mentioned is, it's, I mean, it's intriguing, but I guess I gotta say none of it really grabs me. I mean, it'd be interesting to play high-level Mahjong with, say, higher-ups in Renmei, or the Japan Pro Mahjong League, like Kojima-sensei. That'd be real neat to play against him. But in terms of the other folks, I mean, I guess I have to just say that as players, in terms of, like, Japanese players of Mahjong, I have a lot of respect for certain Renmei pros, but just as much for other regular people I know in the Mahjong world who I can play with regularly. So it's really not that much of a big deal for me. Not because I can play with pros who I know, but just because I suppose I just don't think that they're the best of the best.
Okay, but, I mean, you made quite a bit of effort to go play in the European tournaments.
Well, that's completely different. I mean, the European tournaments, as they stand right now, I think any organizer will say, well, there's a competitive aspect to them. The primary purpose of them is really not to determine who's best. It's to provide a venue for friendship and exchange amongst Mahjong aficionados in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really more of a friendship, you know, tourism, you know, let's all have fun together sort of thing. Than hardcore competition. Masters is first and foremost a tournament. And it's also a tournament with a structure, I have to say, that I don't particularly like. I mean, making it past the qualifying rounds, even when you get to the point where you play against the pros, you're playing against people who have already been seeded in to that level. Simply because of their affiliation with a pro Mahjong league, not necessarily because of their ability. I mean, I'll admit that most Renmei players are significantly better than me, but I think that there are certainly Renmei pros who I'm better than, and I don't see why they should get seated when I can't.
So, yes, that definitely highlights, you mentioned something that I've touched on a fair amount in Jen and my discussion about tournaments, that the whole concept of seating in Japanese tournaments seems to me to be entirely goofy.
In the World Series of Poker, I mean, you want to see Odor Brunson into the final table every single year?
Yeah, that seems absolutely
the
ridiculous.
The man can make it there himself. Why can't Mahjong pros? It's like they're admitting that they're not weak. They're not as strong as people think they are.
And the I've said this before, and I'll say it again because I'm good at saying things I've said before. The word seed is it's a misnomer. It's not seeding at all. It's a handicap, is what it is. And why
It's a buy.
Yeah, it's a buy, but it's a buy with it's just a far too big buy, because you know a normal buy just means one round. It just means that you get an extra round of rest because there don't happen to be enough players. In tennis, you get a buy because you get that extra round because there aren't enough players. Okay, because you're the best, you probably would have made it to the next round anyway. Okay, we'll give you this one round.
Right.
That's not at all what it means in Japanese mahjong. It means, you know, since you did well in a previous tournament, we're going to let you just jump in at the end.
And I mean, is it really necessarily doing well in a previous tournament? Isn't it? I'm sure it can be that to a certain extent, but isn't it also you've been with the league longer than most people?
Oh, well...
Doesn't it really boil down to that a lot of the time?
All right, it boils down to that. Some people will get seated into the Honsen, the main round, just because they've been around long enough to have enough experience points.
Right, that's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, that is a fairly strange reason to get seated into the main round.
Well, I mean, it's not strange. It's perfectly understandable if the tournament is being run I won't go ahead and say it, but if the tournament is being run as what I think it's being run as, but simply for being affiliated with the organization that's running it, I mean, it just smacks of cronyism.
Yeah, it is very cronyistic. It's all about giving people who've been around for a while the big advantage. And it's true. I have to agree with you. I think it's a very strange way to run a tournament. It doesn't seem like the tournament is run in such a way as to find the best player for that tournament. It seems like it's run as a mahjong club, and here we have this club of people that have done well before, and let's see if one of you outsiders can somehow manage to beat all the odds and beat one of our people in this elite club
It's
collected.
Like, it's like a tourism sweepstakes sort of thing. I mean, everyone can battle it out in the qualifying rounds to try to get the honor of playing with one of these, you know, ultimate pros, and then, you know, maybe, just maybe, eke out a win against, frankly, completely unfair odds. So I suppose in a nutshell, that's really I'm not interested in playing in the tournament. If I want to play a serious match against any of these pros, I can look up when they're playing at a parlor and go and play against them for cash.
Absolutely.
And by the way, listeners, you can do that too. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. So if you had a word
Take
of advice...
Take cross money, it's fun.
Yes, if you had a word of advice for tournament organizers in Japan, what would it be to get more people interested in playing in Japanese tournaments?
Well, if it was to get more people interested in playing, I would do exactly what they're doing, and I would tell them to get more female pros to play, and in the advertisements they should be wearing very provocative clothing. I think that would get more people interested in playing. Now, if you want to run a tournament that gets widely respected by critics as, you know, being a nice sound tournament that really determines who the best person is, get rid of the seeding system. I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, right now they're basically it's like they're towing a line between a real tournament and the Saikyo-sen, which is the biggest tournament in Japan, where readers can battle it out to have like six spots to play amongst real celebrities. You know, like Mahjong, like the author of Akagi or Kojima Sensei himself, or you know, the commentators on TV, and that at least admits, you know, that
right
it is what it
start.
Is. I mean, it's everyone knows it isn't really, you know,
a tournament to determine who's
right,
the best player.
Right. But this one, it's affiliated with a pro group. I would like to see them do a real job of it. I mean, as it is right now, the European Championships do a better job of determining who's the best. And
absolutely.
I mean, really, like, they should be following Japan's example, not the other way around.
Right. Yes. So if Japan were to get on the stick, they would in the end just be following Europe's example. From the
you know, it's funny. I think the JMOC or whatever the international organizing body for international championships in Japan is right now, it is now considering the European Mahjong Association rules, the ones that Jen and I helped to write, because there is no unified set of rules in Japan. There is no unified set of rules in Japan. I mean, there's the JPMN rules, of course, but that isn't the one. Those aren't the ones that everyone uses. There is no one unified set of rules, and so to create a unified set of rules, they are going to copy the rules that are used in EMA, which is it's just so wonderfully ironic. This
isn't
is how
that,
this country
that is
works.
Ironic, yeah, that is crazy. All right, well, we have rambled on for a little while. And I'm sure you have quite a few more interesting things to say about the way tournaments are run here. But thank you very much for the input so far, and perhaps we can pick your brain again.
Hey, this has been a lot of fun. If people want to continue the conversations on the forums, I'll be checking them in the next couple of days.
Oh, okay.
Days,
you check out the reachmahjong.com forums.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, so, yes, you heard it here. You can talk to us on the forums. Also, you can reach me, as always, at GarthE, GARTHE, at reachmahjong.com. If people wanted to get in touch with you, where would they email you?
Where would they email me? BENKUN at gmail.com is a pretty easy one.
BENKUN.
BENKUN at gmail.com. But I really will be checking the forums pretty soon, so if people want to get my attention, just mention my name on there. I haven't been around in a little while, but I'll be back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Ben. It was great to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I am sure somebody will be on vacation again, and even if we aren't, perhaps you'll be interesting enough that we'll invite you again.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week.
Bye-bye. はもちろん役満床モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンスマージャンワイドクリーン